Yeah, that was stupid. And what can they do with fighting? Don't fight that way, of course. I shouldn't have long I was, because what they Chinese martial arts are in Michigan. And it's good to know these things now, but at that time, I rejected those. And I thought that boxing and wrestling was more manly, or more, I guess, an American way to do things, or more modern way, whatever you call it.
What did you think of the Western movie, the Chinese cut? The movie.
Well, one thing we enjoyed doing when we were kids was going to movies. Every weekend, on Saturday, we'd go to the Gateway Theater, which is only about a block and a half away. It's called the Gateway Theater. And I think it was 10 cents at that time to go to the movie. And we'd see the serials, Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon, and then show them the movie. I remember seeing, of course, the Chinese with Fu Manchu type of movies. Not a chance, I but so far I was thinking, as I say, I accepted that. It's funny that I'm Chinese, yet I flew and hissed and hate Fu Manchu that way, because, as I said, my training or education was American. It didn't seem strange to me, on one hand, to condemn the Chinaman or change my name, because it seemed very natural. I was one, I think. And yet, I go home, I'm Chinese. But it's sort of that split that was fine. I accepted that. It might seem hypocritical, but it's all, I guess it's funny how you can be two things at once. You don't know what that is. I didn't think anything of the Chinese, but it's just going to be derogatory to me. It's a fantasy test. Accepted it. It wasn't where I was ashamed of being Chinese. And seeing the Chinese in the movie that happened, gee, I'm Chinese and I should be ashamed. I didn't feel that shame. Was entertainment. And even today, I think maybe that's where I kept the perspective. The entertainment, it wasn't the real world. And even today, I enjoy movies. Even seeing Chinese in bad scenes or because it's community entertainment. It's not real.
Okay, let's go into some about the Chinese in Los Angeles. Did you or your family belong to any associations in Chinatown?
We didn't belong to any association in Chinatown as such. It wasn't after World War II that my father became active in the Four Families Association, Longguang Tingyi, and that was the closest thing to association. For the most part, we were churchgoers, and we didn't belong to any family association or any columns as such, although I remember as a child that there were columns. And there was on four occasions we were fearful for my dad's life because he was a Lao, the four families, leaders in the community, and some concern that he might be a target. In fact, once a friend said, would you like to follow a pistol? What do I do with the pistol? There was that fear among the kids that we know the problems which we associated with the bad guys and the family association with the good guys, that even though we have that knowledge, it wasn't any as open a thing as could have been the case when the Chinese first came to Hong Kong. For the most part, people knew that we were Christians, and Christians, they said, had a unique place in the community of the Brotherhood. Among Chinese, they seem to be, whether you're a believer or non-believer, they seem to be believers were more or less in a different acceptance in the community than those who are not. At least it seemed that way to me.
Were your father active in the church in the town?
My dad was even though he quit the ministry in Long Beach, and then that time was a depression, and I think he realized that it was tough to make a dollar in the ministry. Maybe he thought he'd make more money as a career, but anyway, he changed profession. And he went to the depression. In fact, when he was living in Glendale, when he was trying to get his business started, there were times that I knew that we didn't have enough money to move for rice. My dad had to borrow money for rice. And there was some tough times. I can remember that we sometimes ate just plain rice with very little of the associated material. It seems strange to think about it. Today, we go to a Chinese meal, or we think more of the less of rice and more of the fish and fowl and meat and vegetables. In those days, in the pressure days, we didn't have that. And it was a traumatic experience. My dad later in Glendale did very well, as did his dad, but then the Japanese invaded China, I believe in 1937 or about. Broke out that sort of started the slow supply of earth from China, and then the business fell off. And my dad knew he made a stick as some of the other villages in town. Although we had a very comfortable life later on, and my dad would get a lot of things for our family, he'd do it on the installment. It scared the hell out of our family because we were still, most of all, we wanted to pay things in cash. But my dad would, he didn't think about giving about a buying thing on time. He bought furniture, cars, radio on time. He didn't think anything about it. I think he became used to that idea of getting that now. And in fact, he first came out the first one of the very first TVs following World War II on time. I still remember the small TV set. He had all kinds of about 15 people clustered around watching that TV set. He bought that one. But, getting back to ministry, my dad, even though he became a service, would help out the church. He would be the temporary interim minister for the Presbyterian Church. I think that following World War II, or during World War II, my dad, after my family at that time, we would go to the church on weekends, and we'd go to the Congregational Church and to the Methodist Church in Chinatown. During World War II, apparently, my folks decided to go back to the Presbyterian Church, and after that, we went to the Presbyterian Church, and my dad served in the Presbyterian Church. Now, my brother and I, we were baptized in the Congregational Church in Glendale. My mother would drive us up there, and we became members of the Boy Scout group of that church in Glendale. And in 1937, we were members of the Boy Scout. We went back for a jamboree. That was a national gathering in South of Washington, D.C. That was a fabulous train trip for my brother and I. I wanted to go because my father was reluctantly. And then we was a little my brother. And so my mother and sister people too. And so my dad said, well, okay, you thought it would be a trip, but it was a lot of experience and education. You know, at least my folks were far seeing. They wanted us to have a good training, good education. And that was one of the things they did. And again, we didn't care. Well, I'm afraid for just one quite a moment. Yeah, she was too.
Okay, what individuals do you think that do you consider to be prominent Chinese and Los Angeles before World War II and why?
Well, that's a tough question to answer because it's common. Common in what way? It helps in terms of talent being rich or leaders. Now, let me try it. Let's see. So far as monetary is concerned, I guess people relate to prominence among Chinese as those who are well-to-do primarily. I think the most prominent family, even in my way of thinking about that, was Y.C. Hung, a Chinese attorney. He made it big as an attorney, and I can remember he had a package, a car, and he gave us a ride, our family, and my dad, very well. I think that Y.C. Hung was a tennis player. And he and my dad played tennis with a number of people. He was riding his car, and he was supposed to live out into the most specific areas. And I'd say he was one of the most prominent among the Chinese Americans. Other prominent people, let's see. And of course, Mr. and Mrs. Graham. They were restaurant owners. Mrs. Nelson was was the lead among the Chinese women groups. And her father and her husband was active in the Chinese Citizens American Alliance. That's CACA, Chinese American Citizens Alliance. Which was composed of primarily which at that time composed of people who were American citizens. And so far as other people were coming Mr. Thomas Wong, his wife was May Wong, formerly May Su Hu, he was founder of the produce business. And of course, you had the restaurant owner. That was also one of General Lee's parents were prominent. I would have to say that those of us might have not, without even more explaining the thought of what has happened to them, that not really.
Okay, what kinds of jobs were most Chinese engaged in before the war?
Let me put it this way, that the traditional types of jobs like restaurant, cleaning, or operation, or laundries, and grocery stores, and tour shops, and those things. That's China, I see, and working at produce, but those are the usual things. But so far as professional work, that is, people, a Chinese chemist, a Chinese, Chinese becoming insurance agents, becoming a professional. Not too many. I'm sure there are Chinese dentists, Chinese lawyers, and in Los Angeles. I'm sure there must be more in San Francisco, but not in Los Angeles. And just very few. These people are practicing in the Chinese community. So far as dentists. At that time there was that attitude of never went before, and why should this happen? Yes, I know that. There's one person who was trained to be a pharmacist. It was tough for Chinese that time to try to break into the white labor market. Looking at among Chinese, the traditional Chinese, no problem. Trying to get into a white professional work, looking with a group of whites, in white communities, is very, very tough. You can become a professional in this Chinese.
End tape.